Praise the Lord. Hello, my wonderful friends. God bless you. This is Pastor Terry Sisney. I want to welcome everyone to come on in today. And I want to welcome you to our Higher Life Ministries Overcomers broadcast. The Overcomers broadcast. So I also want to welcome all of our viewers here on HAPS app. And of course, that's going to come across on our Facebook and different platforms. So really excited about this HAPS broadcasting studio, which gives us the opportunity to come on about four different platforms, I believe. And so that's pretty exciting, as well as being able to broadcast simultaneously on my podcast. So welcome in today to our podcast and also to our broadcast, our video broadcast here. I'm going to be sharing about the key of praise. This is the Overcomers broadcast, and I'm sharing today about the key of praise. And so you want to come in today and you want to take some notes maybe. I know it'll be a blessing to you. It has absolutely been a blessing to me, this revelation that I received many years ago on the key of praise. Now I'm going to take you into the Old Testament to a book that is not very big, but it's very powerful. It's the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. And this has become one of my favorite verses over the years, not because it's so exciting, but because it just gives you such a stabilizing power. And the reason it means so much to me is because life is uncertain. Life comes with problems built in, you know, adversity, storms, winds, circumstances that are adverse, that are negative, that are painful, harmful, distasteful, uncomfortable, inconvenient. That's just life. That's life. And so the reason I love this scripture so much is because this prophet, this individual, Habakkuk, in this little small book, only three chapters, gives us a look, a glimpse into his life when things aren't going good. Kind of like Job. Job made a statement similar to what we're going to see here. Job said, "Though God slay me, yet will I trust him." And so he made a statement that was similar to what Habakkuk said. The only problem with Job was the misinterpretation of recognizing that it was the devil that was bringing all this evil and all this pain upon his life. And he partially attributed it to God, saying, "Though God slay me, yet will I trust him." Well, it wasn't God. God is not the author of sickness and disease and malady and infirmity. And so I think we should establish that as we're moving forward, that God is good. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Sickness is not of God. It didn't come from God. It came from the devil. Sickness, if there had not have been a fall of man, there would not have been sickness. Sickness entered into the human race through sin. Sin and sickness are the twin evils of the devil. Sin and sickness. If it had not had been for sin entering into the picture, there would have been no sin, there'd been no sickness, would have been no death. But sin entered into the picture, and as a result, sickness came with the fall of man, with sin. So the twin evils of the devil are sin and sickness. The twin cures, or the twin diseases of the devil, can say either way, are sin and sickness. The twin cures of God are healing for the body, healing for the soul. restoration for the spirit man to bring us back into fellowship with God, and restoration for our bodies, healing for our bodies, that the sickness came as a product of sin. Not saying that you sinned and brought sickness on you, but saying that it entered into the human race through sin, through Adam's and Eve, through their sin and their transgression and their rebellion against God. Having said that, life comes with problems. We've already said that. And I love this individual. I love his heart, because he makes the statement, although, even though, no matter what. Any one of those phrases would work to cover this. Although, even though, anyway, no matter what. So we'll start right there. Habakkuk 3, verse 17. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that describes probably about the worst scenario that you could possibly figure up and think up. He's just went through everything, even though the gas stations don't have no gas, even though my water's not working, my hot water heater went out, even though the supermarkets are out of food, even though, I mean, he's just run down the list of all the problems that could happen in his life, and probably was experiencing some of them at the time. But he said, even though and although all these things may be going wrong, and you may be in a situation like that today where it seems like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. You know, the Murphy's Law. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. You may be in that situation right now. You may be, seems like everything you start to do just turns out wrong. Seems like nothing is working out. Nothing is coming into place. And maybe it feels like all the good things are just falling out of your life, or just shriveling away, or just disappearing. So this is what Habakkuk said. It, no matter what the situation is, if I lose everything, if everything goes south, if everything, if the bottom falls out of everything, he says, yet will I rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine a man that has just lost everything, or a woman, just lost everything, maybe just went through the worst divorce in her life, you know, the worst situation, a divorce, worst scenario, divorce. And all of a sudden, you're out there on the steps praising God, rejoicing, not because of the divorce, but in spite of it. You've just lost your home. It got foreclosed on. And you're out there rejoicing. People are going to think you lost your mind. They're going to think you lost your mind because they don't understand. You're not rejoicing in the loss. You're rejoicing in the Lord in spite of the loss. In spite of the pain. Do you know that you can praise God through the pain? You can praise God in the midst of pain. You can praise Him in the midst of loss. You can praise Him in the midst of grief. You can, because it's an activity, and it's a work of the Spirit, and it's a determination of the will. I will praise Him. David said in one place, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. It's easy to praise God when everything is going good. It's easy to praise God when all the bills are paid, and man, you and your wife, you've got the marriage made in heaven, and money is rolling in, and you got the money in four or five different bank accounts, and you got money in your pockets, and you got you don't see anything bad happening in your body. You're in good health, man. Hallelujah. It's easy to praise God in those times. But when you go through something like Habakkuk just described, and the bottom drops out and everything goes wrong, it can go wrong, and you're not looking at abundance. You're looking at lack. You're looking at loss. You're looking at pain. You're looking at sorrow. You're looking at despair. Yet he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. David said, I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Friend, I know you can praise him in the hard times. I know you can praise him in the good times. But I know it's possible to praise him in the hard times. I remember when I was very sick in 2011, and the enemy came to try to take my life. 2011, very, very sick, and throwing up about 10 times a day at least, and just to stay out of pain because my body was in so much pain. Shriveled down to about 100 pounds and just in pain all the time. And I'm not going to tell you about all the symptoms in my body and all that I was going through, but I'm telling you, one thing I decided, I'm going to praise God. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if I die, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise him anyway, not because I'm happy and thankful that I'm sick, not because I was enjoying the sickness, but because God is good and God is worthy and there's power in your praise. That's what I'm trying to get to. I've been taking a little time to lay a foundation, but this is one of the greatest keys to the overcoming life, is the key of praise. You know, the Bible declares, thou art holy, O Lord, that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Hallelujah. God inhabits our praise. So when you begin to praise God, he gets in your praise. Hallelujah. Praise is not just something you do when everything is going good. I'm going to tell you something about praise. Praise is powerful. Praise is a weapon. It's a weapon that you can use against the enemy. Praise is my weapon of choice. When I was going through that season of sickness, the devil would hit me and attack me, and I would throw up and I would feel so miserable. I would say, God, I praise you. I praise you. I praise you in this miserable mess. I praise you in this pain. I praise you, not because of what I was going through, but because of how good he is. Because he's God. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your situation is today, right now. He knows what the devil is doing or trying to do in your life, against your life. And God is for you, friend. And the Bible declares, if God be for you, who can be against you? God loves you. God doesn't want you sick. He doesn't want you diseased. God doesn't want you going through the trials of despair and grief and sorrow and pain and misery and lack and suffering. He doesn't, that's not his plan for your life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God's plan for you is abundant life, abundant joy, abundant peace, abundant health, abundant life in Jesus Christ. But praise is a powerful key to an overcoming life. You know, I don't praise God just because everything is going my way. I don't praise him just because all my bills are paid. I don't praise him just because I'm healthy. I don't praise him just because my family is together. I praise him because he's good. I praise him because he deserves my praise. I praise him because I love him. Hallelujah. And because I'm grateful and thankful that he saved me. And if he never did anything else for me, it's worthy. He's worthy to be praised the rest of my life. I praise him just because he saved me. But oh friend, he has blessed me far beyond that. He has saved me. He's filled me with the mighty Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. And he's put me in the ministry. Glory to God. And he has blessed me and prospered me. Glory. I'm telling you, God is a good God. Have you ever been through anything? Absolutely. Have I ever experienced loss? Yes. Have I ever grieved? Yeah. Have you ever been sorrowful? Yes. Yes, I've been through that. I understand that very well. I understand the loss of a loved one. I understand separation, and I understand a lot of things that are very painful and very hurtful and grievous. But you know what? I made up my mind. I will bless the Lord. I will praise him at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let's go back to what Habakkuk said. Yet, even though, no matter, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy. Oh, how do you joy in the midst of sorrow? It's by faith. That's the only way you can do it. By faith. I'm going to rejoice in the midst of this valley. I'm going to rejoice in the midst of this pain. I'm going to rejoice in the midst of this sickness. Not in the sickness, not about it, not for it, but I'm rejoicing in God by faith. because God is good. And maybe he'll bring me out, and maybe he won't, but he's still good. Remember the three Hebrew children. We don't like to hear this a lot of times because we want to just settle it that God, everything's going to work out the way we want it to go. But the three Hebrew children said, whatever happens, we're going to praise God. Whatever happens, we're going to worship God. Whether we come out of this fire or whether we burn up in this fire, it doesn't matter, O King, it's already decided. We will not bow to your image. We will not worship your gods. We will only worship the true and the living God. And if he delivers us, so be it. And if he doesn't, so be it. It doesn't matter. Oh, I know that's a hard thing to say. But I've decided I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him in the midst of this storm. I'm going to praise him in the midst of this battle. Look what happened in the book of 2 Chronicles when a great enemy came up against Jehoshaphat, great man of God who loved God. The first thing he did when this enemy came is he brought it to the Lord. He said, look, Lord, look at what's going on. And he talked about how you made us a promise. And he said in 2 Chronicles 20, he said, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in thy house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And then he said, look, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, they have turned and they've come to destroy us. Listen, you can put any name on that. You could say, Lord, sickness has come out after me. You could say, poverty and lack is trying to destroy my life. You could say that divorce has hit my home. You could say that there's separation in relationships. You could say, you could put any name on those things and you could say, they have come against me to destroy me. God, where are you at? That's what Jehoshaphat was saying. Presented it to God. And then you know what God's answer was to him? I'm going to tell you what God told him through another man of God. He said, you will not need to fight in this battle. This is what he said in 2 Chronicles 20 and 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So what did they do then? If they're not going to fight in the battle, what did they do? Here's what they did. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat consulted with the people. He called them all together. He appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. They took the key of praise. They went into the battle with the key of praise. That was the plan. We're going to go into this battle. We're not going to have to fight it the physical, natural way, but we're going to go into this battle and we're going to praise God. And that was what their standard was. They lifted up the standard and it went before them, and the praise led them. Judah was the tribe that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And Judah means praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm going to send Judah out first. No matter what I'm dealing with, I'm going to send Judah out first. So the Bible says, when they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come out against Judah, and they were smitten. Hallelujah. When they came out of their despair, when they came out of their confusion, when they came out of their fear and their anxiety and their worry and their stress, when they began to praise God by faith, they were looking at a great enemy that was about ready to destroy them. But by faith, on the authority of what God said, you won't have to fight this battle. God's going to fight for you. Just praise him. By faith, they begin to praise him and declare, your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, as they praised him, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. Not only that, watch what happened to this. This is so powerful. It says, and the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. In other words, all of their enemies turned on each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel that for somebody today. Your enemies are getting ready to turn on each other. They're going to begin to turn away from you, and they're going to begin to fight each other, because praise is so powerful that it brings confusion into the enemy's camp. And where you have to understand, the enemy is very organized, many times very organized in his attacks against you and his attempts to destroy you and break you down. He's very organized. But when you begin to praise God, hallelujah, that organization begins to break up. There begins to be disagreement in their ranks and disharmony, and they begin to fall out with each other. And eventually, as we continue to praise God, there's confusion in their ranks and they begin to fight each other. Hallelujah. That's what happened, friend. That's what happened. God brought total confusion into the ranks of the enemy, and they begin to fight each other. Hallelujah. And here's what the Bible says. I love this. It's so powerful, friend. So powerful. The key of praise. And when Judah came toward, remember, Judah is praise. When Judah came toward, when praise came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, and they looked unto the multitude, it was a high place where they could look down in the valley. Behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Praise God, friend, that's powerful. Can you imagine that God could be so powerful in your life and affect such a change in your life and affect such a deliverance in your life that all of your enemies are smitten and fall before his presence and before his glory? You know, you might be awesome, and you might can do some stuff, and you might can take out some enemies, but you can't take out all your enemies. But God could take out all your enemies. Remember this. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. Sometimes you've just got to leave things up to God and let him fight your battle. Well, what do I do? Praise him. This is your part in the battle. Praise him. This is your part in the warfare. This is spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is spiritual warfare when we begin to put on the garment of praise. For the spirit of heaviness, there is a power that's released. There's an anointing that's released. And the power of God begins to operate on your behalf against your enemies, against the demon powers of hell that are set on destroying you. And God comes and gets into the middle of the mix, because God inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. And he begins to fight for you. And the Bible says every one of their enemies were smitten. They were dead on the battlefield, and none escaped. Amen. Put on the garment of praise. Absolutely. Then look what it says. Look what it says. I want you to see this. This is so powerful. So many people never utilize the key of praise. They only praise God when everything is going good. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God, for doing this. Thank you, God, for taking care of that. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for making a way for me in this area. Oh, thank you, God, for blessing me. That's good. That's wonderful. But you need to learn how to use the key of praise when you're in the middle of a battle, because this key is a powerful key of warfare, spiritual warfare. And so here's what happened. None of their enemies escaped. All those that came out to kill, steal, and destroy were smitten before them. And then, watch this, and Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them that they found among them, and they found among them in abundance. Watch this. The enemy came out loaded with wealth and riches. they found abundance both of riches and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry. It took them 3 days to gather up the spoils. 3 days to gather up the jewels and the riches that the enemy had brought to the battle. You know what it was saying? You know what was happening? The enemy was so confident and so proud of himself and so self-congratulated. You know, that's not a word probably, but he was so full of himself. That's probably the way I should say it. He was so full of himself. I'm talking about all the enemies, but they represent the devil, that they came out there loaded with jewels. They came out there with riches, silver and gold and jewels. And they didn't come really to fight. They came to show off. They came to show off, because sometimes the enemy will put on a big show to try to make you think that he has already defeated you. He'll come out with all these riches that he's taken from other battles and show them off to you and say, look what I've done. Look what I did to the last person. Look how I destroyed them. Look, I got all these riches because I conquered so many people. And he tries to paint this big picture to make you afraid and to make and get you off into anxiety and worry and stress and fear, because he knows that fear is faith in his ability to do bad. He knows that fear paralyzes you. And so the Bible says they came out with riches and with silver, with gold, with jewels. And it says it took them 3 days to gather up the spoils. Glory to God. See, God wants to bless you today. God wants to bring you out. He wants to bring you out of that trial. He wants to bring you out of that battle. He wants to bring you out of that warfare. But he doesn't just want to bring you out. He doesn't just want to deliver you from the fire. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. He wants to increase you. Hallelujah. When the children of Israel, when the three Hebrew children, I should say, when they came out of the fire, you know what happened? The king promoted them in Babylon. That's what God wants to do for you today. He doesn't just want to pull you out of the fire. He wants to promote you. He doesn't just want to bring you through this battle that you're in right now. He wants to bless you. There's a blessing on the other end of this battle. There's a blessing on the other end of this struggle. There's a blessing on the other end of this fight. God wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. Hallelujah. But you've got to utilize the key of praise. Say, well, I'll praise him when I get out. No, you got to praise him when you're in it. You got to praise him, because see, praise is the voice of faith. Praise is faith expressing itself audibly. When I praise God, my faith is saying, God, I believe in you. God, I know you're good. God, I trust you with my life. God, I trust that you know what's best for me. God, I trust you that you're going to bring me through this thing and you're going to be glorified in my life. That's what praise does. Praise is the voice of faith. So right in the middle of that trial you're in right now today, activate the key of praise and watch what God does. Watch what God does. Watch how God steps into the middle of the battle and he begins to fight for you. And friends, oh my, if God be for you, who can be against you? We bless you today. This is the Overcomers Broadcast, and this has been our episode on the key of praise. And I hope that you've got this message, got it down in your spirit today, because we serve a God who is greater than your circumstances. The Bible declares, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Friend, utilize the key of praise today and watch what happens in Jesus' name. We bless you. Have a great day. We'll be back again with another broadcast, Overcomers Broadcast, and talking to you about another powerful key of the overcomer's life.